Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.
In the United States, concerns continue to grow over President Biden's fitness to run for re-election following his poor performance during last week's TV debate. Lloyd Doggett from Texas became the first Democrat in Congress to call for Biden's withdrawal, saying yesterday that he represented a congressional district once represented by Lyndon Johnson, who had made the painful decision to withdraw. President Biden, he said, should do the same. Well, Biden's campaign has doubled down in the last number of days to try and reassure voters that he is capable of standing in November's election. And to take a closer look at what's going on, I'm joined on the line by Larry Donnelly, law lecturer at University of Galway and columnist with thejournal.ie, and TJ Molloy, former chairperson of Democrats Abroad Ireland. And you're both welcome to the programme. TJ, if I can begin with you. We see from a major report in the New York Times this morning that people who have spent time with President Biden over the last couple of months, they say the lapses appear to have grown more frequent and after Thursday's debate last week, more worrisome. Can you understand people's concerns?
I think after we saw the debate performance, we've all reassessed what we're thinking. And there's been a big change in Democratic circles just in the last 24 hours, really. We've had a Jim Clyburn come out, South Carolina congressman, who was basically a kingmaker for Biden in the 2000 primaries or 2020 primaries. If you remember, Biden was left for dead. And when once he won South Carolina, that was it. Everyone else withdrew. And we've heard Nancy Pelosi come out now. There's been some internal polling within the Democratic Party that has basically taken it from about five swing states up to about 12 or 15 swing states where some formerly safe states such as Virginia, Maine are now in play. And I think we've seen things closing ranks over the weekend right after, and Biden continued to raise money. Biden showed up at rallies that were well attended and there was good enthusiasm. Mm-hmm. I was very surprised at no drop in the polling, about 1 point, which is it's all we saw over the weekend. But internally within the Democratic Party, I think there's been a lot of assessment going on over the last few days. And to have Nancy Pelosi come out and Jim Clyburn within a few hours of each other saying that, you know, hey, was this just an episode or is it a condition? These are big people within the party. This isn't just me or Larry Donnelly or just people way down the food chain.
Your views are very important to us, TJ, and I'm just wondering what you do think yourself about it. What do you think would be the best course of action for the Democrats at this late stage?
Well, the whole thing is the incumbency argument is there. It's very hard to beat an incumbent. I don't care how good or bad you were, and Joe Biden's done a great job as president. The incumbency argument is it's very tough to beat a sitting president. It's only been done four times in the last 100 years. Joe Biden is one man who's done it. He's actually beat Donald Trump. So, you know, these arguments are real. And what do we get in if we had a drag out fight in the Democratic Party? As you know, political animals are going to go after each other. Mm-hmm. You know, we can all say we're kumbaya right now, but to actually see a nomination race at this late date or around a convention would be pretty ugly. Now, what scenarios are we talking about? That we're purely speculating. We don't know. You know, would Joe Biden, if this polling is, if this is really the top of the Democratic Party going to Joe and saying, hey, Joe, this isn't winnable. We really need to get a game plan together here. What changes? Does he step down? Does he serve out his term? We can talk about that some more. But or does Joe say no? It's really in Joe Biden's purview to decide what he wants to do. But it is concerning. This last 24 hours is a big change after the weekend, because over the weekend you heard everyone coming out supporting Biden.
Yes, and the tide does seem to be turning somewhat now. Larry, when we do see elected members of his own party coming out and openly calling for him to withdraw, I mean, that has to escalate the danger for Joe Biden and for his team, despite all the efforts we have seen to bolster him and bolster the campaign in the aftermath of the debate.
Yeah, it's very damning when people on your own side, and indeed people who've been loyalists for a long time, Lloyd Doggett being one of those, but others like former Congressman Tim Ryan and TJ mentioned some of the others. When those on your own team are saying things like this, you are starting the race at a huge disadvantage. From this point of view, the reality is Joe Biden is only going to be able to present himself as better than Donald Trump, a better choice than Donald Trump. He's a better option than Donald Trump. There is nothing, the people won't be voting for Joe Biden. Indeed, the first question that most Americans have is he capable? Will he make it, to be blunt about it? And one, you know, to only 25% of Americans, the polling shows, you know, say that he has the mental capacity to be president of the United States. So the Democratic, and the points TJ make are very, very valid. Democratic Party has a Hobson's choice in front of it. The difficulty is they don't have the luxury of time to consider it. There needs to be a decision in the next couple of days, legitimately, as to whether Biden is going to continue or not. And if he is to continue, my own view is that Biden needs to make a very public, very compelling statement as to why he is continuing and why he remains the best Democrat to take on Donald Trump. The problem is, can he do it?
Maybe that is why we've seen in the last 24 hours, would you agree, a ramping up of the pressure, because everybody in the Democrats knows if you're going to make a change, you have to do it now. You have to do it in the next 2-3 days.
Absolutely. Time is not on their side. And let me put forward one scenario here. I mean, a lot of people say that there is a tremendous amount of uncertainty that would result, that this could all bolster Donald Trump, that we've never been down this road before. They point to 1968, which you adverted to in the intro. But let's think about it this way. If things continue, Joe Biden's capacity is going to continue to be the lead story. Donald Trump, of course, will take an awful lot of oxygen as well. If Biden steps aside and there is a contest, that becomes the story. And if Gretchen Whitmer, for instance, or Gavin Newsom emerges, they become the story. They take all the oxygen in this race. They could excite a pretty good swathe of America who currently are not excited by either of the choices on offer. So it is a risky gambit for the Democrats. There's no doubt about that for all the reasons TJ adverted to and more. But in my view, it is the best of two bad options right now.
A new candidate.
A new candidate. And in my view, that new candidate who's best suited to take on Donald Trump is Gretchen Whitmer.
Okay, so TJ, back to you on that. If Joe Biden remains in place, his capacity continues to make the headlines and be the dominant theme of this campaign. On the other hand, can you see a scenario whereby you have a battle between this new candidate, be it Gretchen or be it Gavin Newsom, and that becomes the story and that ignites it for the Democrats? Which is your preferred option at this stage?
Well, my preferred option is, of course, my home state, Senator Sherrod Brown, who would handily win Ohio, win the country, and, you know, would be very, very exciting for the party. But obviously, we're dealing in what-ifs here. There's someone we're not mentioning here, Kamala Harris. Mm-hmm. The easiest, the path of least resistance for money. There's over $300 million in the Biden campaign that we know of. Probably another $100 million that's been raised in the last 6 weeks. So to transfer that money to another candidate is going to be no easy task. If the easiest path there is if it went directly to the vice president as a candidate.
Can she defeat Donald Trump?
The polling is quite good that she can, especially in swing states. Now, the polling around Whitmer and Newsom is also quite good, but they've been doing quite a bit around Kamala Harris now the last couple of days. Mm-hmm. In the swing states. Now, in the national stage, everyone is about even. Everyone beats Trump by one or two. But remember, we're not talking about a national race in the United States. We're talking about swing states.
Yeah.
And in swing states is all that matters. And if you can win those five states, and now this is the playing field has expanded now for Democrats, unfortunately. They don't want to be playing in 10 or 15 states that they have to win. It's got to be down to five. What the ground that we fight on, we have to know. And what's happened now is the internal polling, as I said before, has really deteriorated for Joe Biden in Virginia, in Maine, in Colorado. These are Democratic states that have been Democratic. Democrats have won in the last number of cycles. So
yes.
to expand things that way. So the whole thing is, what's the path of least resistance for the Democratic Party? Is it a broker convention, or is it we just bestow it upon Kamala Harris? Does the president not run? Decide not to run? Does he resign? You know,
are you agreeing with Larry that the least worst option here would be to swap out Joe Biden for another candidate?
No, I wouldn't say just yet. But because we don't know what the swap would look like. It's one thing to say we're going to swap it out for a known entity, but right now it's If it's a huge fight among five candidates or three candidates or two candidates, that could be ugly.
Mm-hmm.
Could be very detrimental to the party. But as Larry also said, if it's a smooth process and suddenly the narrative is around a very dynamic younger candidate, Gretchen Whitmer is a fantastic candidate. Gavin Newsom wipes the floor with anyone he comes up against. You know, these are fantastic. We have a very deep bench in the Democratic Party, thankfully. The ball's in Joe Biden's court.
Yes, and that is crucial. Larry, you explained to me last week about the machine around Joe Biden, and since then we have Jill Biden on the front of Vogue, giving her full support to him, continuing. We had that family meeting at Camp David. We have Hunter, his son, advising him to stay in the race. How do you persuade Joe Biden to step aside?
I just don't know, especially when the people who I think he'd be most inclined to listen to, that is his family, are really strongly, for a host of reasons, some of which revolve around self-interest, want him desperately to continue. And you have a Democratic National Committee, which is still largely controlled by Biden allies and acolytes, people who owe their very existences, their livings, their power, their positions of power. They owe them to Joe Biden. And it points to a deep, deep flaw in the inner workings of the Democratic Party. The reality is that everybody knew that this was going to be a big problem. And to quote one Democratic state representative from my own home state of Massachusetts, we're in this terrifying situation because some folks care more about their own proximity to power than anything else. And that's why Democrats acquiesced to the demands of the Biden people that he get a free run effectively at the nomination again, even though they knew that his weaknesses were manifest, mm-hmm. even though they knew that democracy, as they say it, is on the line, yet they're sending somebody to do battle with Donald Trump who just isn't up to it.
All right, we'll leave it there for now, but we will talk again, no doubt, on this same subject. Larry Donnelly and TJ Molloy, thank you both for being with us. Coming up next on the programme, the HSE lead on obesity, Professor Donal O'Shea, gives his verdict on the government's free hot meal scheme for primary schools. That's after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.